Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the 1-on-1 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. Now for the topic of today, I recently received a very good question from a listener and it was, how not to see everyone as a narcissist? And she was also sharing that her mother frequently tells her that everyone else in her life is using her and is being narcissistic with her, except of course, for her own mother, like who is not. So this is a very important topic, and I want to start by asking you, since discovering narcissism, does it feel like everyone around you is a narcissist? Has your mother often told you she is the only one who is not, but everyone else in your life is? So there are two aspects to this topic, and we need to address them both, and that's why the two questions that are pointing to the different aspects, that it can happen and when we start discovering narcissism, because maybe we started realizing our mother's behavior is not on and there's like some toxic elements of it, we start discovering narcissism, and then next thing we're seeing narcissistic traits in quite a number of people around us, and we may actually start wondering, okay, am I seeing things like before knowing this, I didn't even know narcissism was a thing, and now that I know it, like it's like almost everyone around me is showing aspects of it. And then the other point, the other aspect of it is how our narcissistic mother can make everyone else seem bad while they're promoting themselves as this hero, this one and only person who actually has your best interest at heart. So we're going to talk about both these aspects today because they are both parts of the same thing. So first, let's start with your mother telling you that you're surrounded by unsafe people who only want to use you and who do not truly love you, while she is the only one that does. So whether there's truth in this or not, so whether you are indeed surrounded by some people that don't have your best interest at heart or not, a narcissistic mother will tell you this to isolate you, to control you, and to make you feel like you can't live without her and her wise judgment. Having to tell you that people around you are not there for your best is implying you have no capacity to judge for yourself, that your inner compass is broken, and that without your mother, you wouldn't know how to tell, so you wouldn't be able to discern if a person is actually there to be nice to you or to hurt you. And so you're going to need your mother to be able to support you making those decisions. And of course, she will continuously tell you that everyone else is bad and that she is the only one. So that is like a manipulation tactic to keep you under her control. I have an episode on, I can't remember the full title, but it is about why a narcissistic mother wants you to be isolated. I'm going to share the link in the description of this episode so you can go deeper into this aspect of it. Also, a narcissistic mother doesn't tend to like people who actually love you and who actually make you feel stronger, like a truly loving partner who cares for you, or real friends which will be close to you and they will not believe her stories. So like that, she won't like a work boss, for example, who recognizes your abilities and promotes you and so on. So anyone who will be on your side and make you feel empowered and independent from your mother, and also anyone who will not believe her story or maybe seem immune to it somehow, will not be liked by your narcissistic mother by default. there may be cases when the person your mother is criticizing is actually not a great person to have around. That can happen, that she's actually gotten it right. But the thing is she truly helping you? Is that why she's doing it? Or is she just bringing all the focus on the negative aspects only to be told she was right when the relationship fails? Because that's another element. So these are the different things that can happen when your narcissistic mother is telling you that the people around you are all bad, they're all unsafe, they're all narcissists, they're all out to get you. One, she wants to isolate you to keep you under her control as much as possible. So whether it's true or not, what the people around you are doing, she doesn't care about that. She cares about the fact that by stirring that, she's going to keep you under her control, telling you that you need her to discern. The other thing, the second point, is that she's not going to like anyone who actually makes you feel empowered. Because if you're empowered, then you're not easily controlled. You're not tending to her needs anymore. You're probably setting boundaries. So she's going to attack anyone who will support you in setting boundaries or in being independent or in feeling empowered. And third, if there are actually problems with some of the relationships you have and your mother is pointing them out, she's not pointing them out to help you, but she's pointing them out to put fuel on the fires. So that way, again, you're going to go back to her. The more you're in trouble, let's say with your, if it's a romantic relationship, like you have some contrast with your husband, which can happen. If you go to your narcissistic mother to talk about this, she will put fuel on the fire, because the more you're in trouble, the more you go talk to her, the more you need her, and she needs that. She wants to be needed. So if you were happy and everything was going fine, you wouldn't go to her as much. Like, it's very normal. I mean, like, it's very natural. If you are an independent adult, that you have your own life and everything is going good, you're just doing your own things and checking in with her every so often. If you're in trouble, you're going to go through her. You might even break up with your husband and move back in with her. I actually still to this day remember my mother when I left home about 13, 14 years ago at this point, and I was going away with my husband and my one child at the time. She just stopped me at the door and she said, when he inevitably leaves you, remember that you can always come back here to me. Those were the last things she said, the last words she said to me before I moved country. And I still remember that, because it's like they want you to be in trouble and they want you to go back. She wants you to go back to her. So these are the three reasons why a narcissistic mother is going to tell you that people around you are bad and they are actually doing something to hurt you constantly while she is not. My mother has relentlessly criticized and despised all my friends and boyfriends. And anytime a relationship didn't work, she was so satisfied in telling me how she had warned me about that person. In hindsight, a lot of the failing of the relationships actually came from the conditioning I had and the patterns that were very much active in my system. So this is not to say it was my fault. If you're resonating and something like this has happened to you, please know you have no fault in it. You can't be faulted for patterns you're not aware of, for patterns that are there in your subconscious and dictate your life experience from there too, but you're not aware of them. So there's no fault in that. But becoming aware of this pattern would support you a great deal. And this is what the work is about. Some of those people in my life my mother hated so much, I know now, were not super positive people to have around. And yet, I never got the chance to truly find out how things would have gone if instead of putting fuel on the fire, my mother actually truly was there to support me. Guess we'll never find out. Bottom line is, a narcissistic mother doesn't have your best interests at heart or your well-being. but only her own needs. That's what she cares about. And I know that this is a really intense thing to hear, even though we know it rationally. There's like an emotional part. There's that inner child finds it almost impossible to accept that. How do you mean? Like, she's my mother. How is she not? Like, is something wrong with me? Is that why she doesn't have my best interest at heart? Because that goes against mother instinct, like maternal instinct, doesn't it? So if I was truly lovable, she would have my best interest at heart. But that's actually not the story. It's not because you're not lovable or because there's something wrong with you. It's because she doesn't have those pathways available. A narcissistic mother cannot have, doesn't have that maternal instinct like we think she should. She doesn't. She's wired to care for her own needs, and her own needs come in front of anything else, even you. And that says absolutely nothing about you and your lovability. Nothing at all. You are lovable. You're wonderful. It says it all about her. So whether she got it right or not about the people around you, she's not a good source of such information. That is the important thing that I want you to get about all of this. She has your narcissistic mother has very heavy filters through which she sees the world and others too. And those filters are her own needs. So if she needs you with her, she will criticize anyone who threatens to bring you away. That's it. She won't care if that person is actually good to you or bad to you or in the middle. She will just try to destroy them in your eyes because she wants to keep you close, because she wants to keep you tending to her needs. If she needs to put you down because she needs that for her own story, she will love a partner who actually takes her side against you. So she will actually love, let's say you find a very narcissistic partner and this person sides up with your mother and this is really hurting you, your mother won't care about that. She will actually side, like she will be happy to have an ally that kind of helps keeping you under her control. So it won't make a difference what this person is, whether the partner is actually good for you or not, is irrelevant to her. She wants to meet her own needs. And that's why a narcissistic mother is not a good source of discernment for the people around you. She's not reliable. She's not actually an objective person that is truly caring for you and wants the best for you. She's not there trying to empower you to actually learn to really discern and feel into your inner wisdom and tap into your inner compass about the people around you and learn to set boundaries and all of that. She doesn't care about any of that. All she wants is to meet her own needs. So whatever judgment and comment is going to come out of her mouth about the people that surround you, it's going to be dictated by her trying to meet her own needs. So not a good source of information, not a good source of discernment. You can just take whatever she says, knowing that it's coming from her meeting her own needs, not from her caring for you for real. And that was the first point of this. Now, this gets us to the second aspect of this question. Are the people around you all narcissists or not? Now that we've cleared that following your mother's opinions and warnings on this is not a wise idea, so how can you tell? Because this leaves us in the same sort of conundrum. Are these people really narcissistic? Are these people really toxic for me or not? So as daughters of narcissistic mothers, we tend to recreate the same patterns of relating we had with our mothers. Therefore, we tend to find friends and partners with a pinch of narcissism or a lot. Now, by no means this is a rule, but it can definitely be a thing. Narcissistic behaviors are familiar to us, and subconsciously we tend to look for what feels familiar, as it somehow feels safe. Now, I know this sounds crazy, because rationally you know that that's not safe, but subconsciously familiarity is certainty, and we seek certainty, and the more we've been traumatized, the more we seek certainty. And so the familiarity of certain behaviors actually feels, in a twisted way, to our subconscious, safe. And so that's what we do. And also there's the whole process of trauma reenactment, where we're trying, we're subconsciously recreating the same situations that traumatized in childhood to try and heal the trauma. But because it's led by the subconscious, that doesn't work. So because of these elements, we may end up recreating and bringing more narcissistic people in our life. I've realized how pretty much I was surrounded by an army of highly narcissistic friends who, upon reflection, behaved exactly like my mother. It was incredible when I started noticing. So if this is happening to you, if you're looking around and realizing this, I totally get it. Now, does that mean that we have to go into hiding and live alone for the rest of our lives as the world is full of narcissistic people? Absolutely not. There are, of course, some people out there who are just plain toxic. And this is important to accept. And it's better to stay the heck away from those people. So when your inner system, when you're tapping into your inner wisdom, you're getting back in connection with that, and you're beginning to see the signs, and you're like, this person is really out to get me. This person is really toxic. I know those signs. I've seen this happen before. Hell no. This is a no. My entire body is telling me this person is unsafe. I am getting the hell out of here. This is not a person I want to be in contact with, whether it's a new partner you've met, whether it's a friendship, whether it's an old friendship. Sometimes we haven't noticed these things because we didn't know about narcissism, and because we thought the way our mother related to us was just normal and not highly, highly toxic, we may have made the same sort of assumptions with friends and people around us, that the way they behave towards us is just normal, that we deserve to be treated that way, that it's our fault and all of that. When we start realizing about narcissism and we start noticing, we might actually reconsider some long-term friendships that maybe weren't really friendships to begin with. Maybe these people were not actually that nice to you at all the way, and now you're beginning to realize that. So there's going to be like a little bit of a clearing to do, a little bit of a spring cleaning, considering that we're in May, but that is kind of part of the process. And jokes aside, it does get to a place where we can feel suddenly like there is very few people around us that actually deserve our time and energy, that are actually really, really lovely to be with. And so if you're finding that that's happening to you, in my experience and with most clients I've been working with, I've seen that that happens very, very, very often. If not like 99% of cases, there's quite a clearing to be done around us. But again, as I said, does that mean that we need to live isolated and alone? Do we have to stay alone forever in order to protect ourselves from all these people? And in a lot of cases, for the most part, the narcissistic traits we observe are actually the result of how we relate in the first place. And before I get tons of comments shouting, "Are you saying it's my fault?" Let me clarify. I am not saying it's your fault. I am not saying that you're attracting narcissism, that is you that is creating narcissism in others. I am not saying any of this. I'm not saying that you're manifesting them out of the out of the blue, they're just landing into your life because you're like a narcissist magnet and it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. None of it is your fault. I'm definitely not saying it's your fault, because that is a very unhealthy way to go about it. When we start blaming ourselves for how other people are behaving, that is really, really, really unhelpful. I'm coming from a background of having been sexually abused as a child and having been told by my own mother that it was my fault. So trust me when I say that I would never say that a toxic behavior of someone around you is your fault. It's not your fault. Now, with that said, there is a mechanism that if we become aware of, we get very empowered. So the behavior of the other person is what it is. That's their responsibility. If they're a toxic person, if they're a narcissistic person, that's their responsibility. It's not your fault. It has nothing to do with you. But there are mechanisms of behavior that we as children of narcissistic parents have that attract those people, and because we've been through that abuse as children, we tolerate them way too much and we let them in way too much. It's like we've built a tolerance muscle with abuse because we've only learned to be validated and accepted through abuse. We've learned that those are the pathways with which we get attention and validation, even if it's not a healthy attention and a healthy validation, but we get it that way. And so with these patterns, we end up getting these people in our life and we tolerate them for way too long. So when we learn the mechanism, then we can get empowered and make sure that that doesn't happen anymore. Can you get the difference? This is not to say that that's your fault, but you have the power to actually stop that from happening. And when I learned that, that was magic for me. That was like, wow. So I can be empowered. I don't have to rely on people being good anymore or people understanding that their behavior is bad and all of that. Because like, that is giving your control away. They're never going to change. And it's not up to you to change them. It's a lot of energy in a direction where it's only going to go to waste. So, and it's only going to cause you a lot of hurt. It was causing me a lot of hurt. Because when I was relying on other people getting it, on other people being better, on other people understanding, on the thought that this should not behave that way, that was bringing my power away. When I learned this mechanism that I'm about to share with you, that brought the power back in my field. And that's really, truly what this is about. So, for example, let's talk about some patterns that are quite common when we have been through growing up with a narcissistic mother or narcissistic parents. So we can turn into people pleasers. And if you are a people pleaser, you know what I'm talking about. I've been a people pleaser for the vast majority of my life, and it's still a pattern I have to be very, very careful with, because I tend to go back there if I don't bring my awareness to it. So if you're a strong people pleaser, due to a coping strategy you learned from childhood, you will surround yourself with people who take advantage of you because you're constantly pleasing everyone. These same people might have tried to take advantage of someone else too, but found a good boundary in place, and so either moved on or changed tune. Do you get where I'm going to here? So being a people, it's not your fault that these people are toxic. They're toxic, full stop, and that's not your fault. But the patterns of people pleasing you're going to get some people that truly get that is lovely that you're such a nice person. But if they're grounded, they're probably going to tell you, oh, you don't need to do that much for me. It's okay, you know. But for one of those lovely grounded people, you're going to get 100 that will actually take advantage of you. because of those people-pleasing patterns. So once you become aware of the people-pleasing patterns, then you start setting internal boundaries with yourself. You start going, I'm not going to just do all of that anymore. I don't need to do all of that to be loved. I am lovable as I am. I don't need to run myself exhausted and destroy myself to please everyone just to be loved, because I am already lovable as I am. And so when you do that, you're going to start putting boundaries in place. And all of a sudden, the ones that were around you just because they were attracted by that people-pleasing aspect of you are just going to move on. Or if they're just... There's different degrees of being a toxic person. Some people don't, they're not actually that all that toxic. They're just unaware of what they're doing. So there's going to be some people that will change tune and will actually realize, maybe I was taking too much advantage of you. I'm sorry about that. I get it now. Yeah, that's fair enough. And then there's going to be others, probably the majority, that will just get pissed off with you and just move on. And that is good riddance, because those people were actually toxic. They were not good people to have around. They were definitely not good friends if they were only sticking around you because you were a people pleaser. Another example, if you have strong empathy. So empathy is a gift. Now, empathy is a beautiful thing. But at the same time, when we let a very strong empathy drive all the relationships, we are going to, and I know, again, this I know because I am very empathic, so I've been here, and if you are, I so get it. I so get it. But when we let the empathy drive the relationships completely, we will attract people who are very absorbed into their own emotionality, aka narcissistic people. And they don't take the time to care about yours. You know that the empath is like a magnet for the narcissist. So these same people, when met with a grounded person who is aware of her own capacity to empathize, but also has boundaries in place, will either get lost or change tune. So again, when you become aware of this pattern, you become so empowered, because you can choose to tap into your empathy, because that's such a gift. But at the same time, you can learn to have boundaries around you where these toxic people are going to bounce off and they're not going to be in your life anymore. And that's empowering. I'm going to speak to one last pattern that is quite common when we've had narcissistic parents. And if you have a tendency to make yourself small, which is another thing that I've done, and I see so many women out there, we do it so much. We make ourselves small. We make ourselves so small, so invisible. We try to disappear. And that's a coping strategy we've learned, because of course, I mean, with our mothers, taking up space was not an option. Definitely with my mother, taking up space was going to get me into all kinds of trouble. Sometimes taking up space was getting us bad and all of that. So it wasn't a safe thing to do. So it makes sense that we've learned to make ourselves really, really small. But when this is the pattern that it's there in our subconscious and that keeps being activated, we are going to find a lot of people who take the entire space and give us nothing. For example, if I don't want to bother anyone with my needs or problems, because maybe I feel I'm imposing, I had quite a burden wound as a child. Both my parents, meaning it or not, but they made me feel like quite a burden. So I have this tendency of not wanting to impose and also wanting to do everything by myself. But the law of the universe dictates that space will be filled. So if you don't want to take the space, someone else will. If you take your share of space, space is infinite. You're actually not taking anyone else's space. You're taking your space, the one that's yours, and you deserve to take that. Okay, so if you take your share, the other person will take their share, and it's gonna all be fair. And again, if they don't like it, they'll move on. If they really think you're a burden and the teacher imposing, well, that's their problem, not yours. They'll just move on to someone else that doesn't want to take space, and they'll prey on them, but they won't prey on you anymore. So do you see how it's not your fault? It's not your fault. People are toxic, and that's not your fault. Now, not all people are toxic. There's a brilliant amount of amazing people out there too. But there is also a bunch of people which will take advantage of all these patterns that may be active in your system. And it's not your fault that they want to do that, but you can empower yourself to stop this cycle by becoming aware of these patterns and stopping that mechanism, setting the boundaries that you need to set, protecting yourself. No more that you've been learning to do this with your narcissistic mother. You can actually do this with everyone around you. And you will find that there's going to be a change in the people around you. Some will actually behave differently in a good way. You're going to elicit a better behavior out of some people. And there's going to be some that don't want to change their behavior, and they're going to move on. And I invite you strongly to celebrate that whenever that happens, when someone just moves on because they can't be toxic around you anymore and they don't like it, that is to be celebrated. And by the same law of the universe that dictates that space will be filled, a nasty person that moves out of your space, it means there's going to be a lovely one that's going to come in to fill that space. That's going to happen. But it can't happen until all of these toxic people have moved the hell out of your way. And you can change that. You are so empowered to do that. It's important to understand that your body is constantly transmitting a message. And this message comes from your subconscious and the patterns that are there. So the message you emit is received by the other people's subconscious and translated through their conditioning and patterns. So in this absolute mess of subconscious behavior, if you can become more and more aware of yours, you can lead relationships in a completely different way. With my own husband, I know, like, I was going around the room most of the time with my shoulders inward, like my chest in, completely closed off, trying to make myself so small. I remember as a young person, like when I was a teenager, people telling me to correct my posture. But it's like, that is the posture of someone that is desperately trying to protect their heart and to make themselves small, because that's what they learn in childhood. So it wasn't just a thing of simply changing posture. I had to realize what was the subconscious pattern that was actually behind it. And my posture actually shifted then. But a lot of the dynamic with my husband has actually changed since I figured that I was always trying not to take space. I was always trying to please. I was always trying to be the least amount of burden as I could. He wasn't asking me to do all of those things. He actually really wasn't. But my behavior was that of someone that doesn't want to take up space. So once that has shifted within me, a lot of the dynamics in the relationship have changed. And of course, there were things that he had to address in his own behavior too. So again, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. People behave the way they do. But you have the power to protect yourself, and not only protect yourself, actually to really be the leader in the relationships with your friends, with your partner, with your family even. You can lead. And how you lead? You lead from, I'm going to give you now 4 points here to support you with this. How can you protect yourself, lead the relationship, and know who you're surrounding yourself with? How can you access that power in you that is going to support you in every relating in your life. So first of all, becoming aware of your patterns, like the people pleasing that we talked about, the fear of abandonment, the fear of not being enough, the fear of being seen or to take space, the hypervigilance of others' emotional state, letting your empathy rule every relationship, and all of those patterns, which none of which is your fault, makes you a bad person, none of that. Those are patterns that came as coping strategies and as trauma responses from your upbringing, from your childhood. So be kind with yourself. Those patterns are there because you've been through intense emotional unsafety in your childhood. Intense. And that's okay that those are there. But once we become aware, we don't need to reject those patterns and reject those parts of us and feel bad about them. But we can empower ourselves to set the boundaries that are needed and all of that. Which brings us to point number two. Point number two is set boundaries. So if you come across someone behaving in a way that doesn't feel right by you, set your boundary. You have the right to do so from the very start. Very often a person is going to show who they are really quickly at the beginning of a conversation. There's going to be telling signs. And as people pleasers, as people tolerant to abuse because we've been through it so much and all of that, we tend to justify those first signs. We tend to go, oh, they didn't mean it. Oh, but they were just very stressed. Oh, but it was just once off. I'm sure they're not going to do that again. Those first signs are where you start setting boundaries straight away. You see what you just said? That's not on. I don't take that from you. So if this is how the relationship is going to be, I'm afraid I'll need to move on. Thank you very much. You set your boundaries from the start. Point number three, trust your intuition. You have an amazing internal system that will tell you when there's a flag in front of you. Trust it. Your body's going to tell you. If something feels like a strong no, there's a reason. So learn to tap into that intuition. Stop following the nonsense of your mother, because that's just not a reliable source of information, as we've seen at the beginning of the episode. Your intuition is what counts. And there's going to be some trial and error in the figuring this out. There's going to be some times that you're like, oh, my intuition actually told me this person wasn't safe, and I still went with it anyway. That's not a mistake. That's an experience that is going to give you wonderful information for the next time. That is part of learning and training, retraining your system into tapping into your intuition and trusting it. But to learn to trust your intuition again, it's there. That intuition is there. It's just that with a narcissistic mother and all the put downs and all the conditioning and whatnot, we got disconnected. But it's there. And you can connect with that and learn to listen to that. And point number four, find a space where you can start practicing and retrain that muscle of your intuition safely. A space where you can share what is happening and be received. This can be a community, like Reclaim Your Fullness community. It can be one-on-one, having someone, a mentor, a guide, a therapist, someone that you can share with in that one-on-one container, and it's going to support you figuring out your blind spots, and it's going to support you understanding what your patterns are, getting to know them deeply so that you don't follow the patterns automatically anymore, but you can actually be aware of them, not act out of the pattern, pause, feel, respond. So pause, feel into what's happening, and then respond. And tapping into your intuition, because that pause allows you to feel into the intuition. So to recap, I'm going to say it again, just to make sure. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. If people around you are actually toxic, it's not your fault. However, you're empowered. You can empower yourself to actually stop those dynamics, break those cycles, set the boundaries that you need to set, and get people around you who are actually deserving of your time and energy because they are actually truly wonderful people. You deserve that. And how do you do that? There's four steps. You become aware of your patterns, you set boundaries, you trust your intuition and stop listening to your mother's advice, and find a space where you can start practicing this. You're a powerful being with so much wisdom in you. I know you've been told for a long time that you can't trust yourself, but you have an amazing amount of wisdom inside of you. And now it's the time to start trusting it. So let me know in the comment what if you've had any experience of this. If you have any questions, you can also send an email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And again, don't bother sending me comments saying that I'm saying that this is your fault, because I've said it 10 times probably in the episode. It's not your fault. I never for once want to say to you that it's your fault, because it's really unhelpful. It's actually anyone that puts out a message that the so-called toxic people in your life, that you attracted them, that it's your fault, that you're creating them and all of that, that is not, it's not helpful. That's not how this works. Will I say to you that you are empowered to stop these cycles of toxicity and pain? Yes, that I'm going to say that to you over and over and over again, because you are. You are. You have that power. We all have. You, whatever about what you've been told, but you have that power, and you can get those gifts that you have, like that amazing empathy, that amazing capacity to help others, that amazing capacity to tap into others' emotions. Those are all super gifts. That's amazing that you have those capacities. But when you learn not to activate the automatic response out of a pattern, but to pause first, feel into your intuition, and then respond, life changes, relationship change. Everything changes for the better, and you have that power. So with that, I'm gonna wish you a wonderful week, send you lots of love. Bye for now.